Welcome to Always Andersonville, the podcast. I'm Charlie, and this week I am joined by photographer and Andersonville resident Kathleen Hinkle. Since 2005, Kathleen has been using her photography to capture stories of community and the experiences that connect us to each other, with a particular focus on local Chicago communities and the global community of LGBTQ plus persons. Kathleen is a multiple Peter Lisagor Award-winning photographer for her work programming queer spaces and LGBTQ plus joy in Chicago, as well as for her project How Live Music Works During COVID. She's currently a finalist for Chicago Journalists Association Award for her Chicago Reader story covering the final day at Dave's Records. She lives in Andersonville with her wife Amanda and their 14 wonderful houseplants. Kathleen, hello.
Hello. It's actually 18 wonderful houseplants now, because Amanda won 4 more yesterday at Houseplant Bingo.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Where is that a thing?
It's at she went to Chief O'Neill's and came home with a bunch of houseplants.
All right, everyone. So please take that note. Houseplant Bingo exists, and you can win it if you can beat Amanda. Well, Kathleen, I'm so glad to have you here. I've been looking forward to having you on the show for a while.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'm excited to be here. It's
good.
An honor to be asked.
Yay. And, you know, whatever time period people are listening to this to, it's daylight savings and it's about 10:15 in the morning and it should just be dark in about 25 yeah. minutes here.
And it's almost 70 degrees in November.
This is super fun. Love the world. Okay. So, Kathleen, our listeners got to hear a little bit about you in the intro, but what else would you like to tell us about Kathleen as a whole?
As you said in the intro, the heartbeat of my personal work in photography is capturing stories about community. That's our geographic community of Chicago and the global community of queer folks, which I am proud to be a member. And beyond that, I have a photography business that does commercial work. I'm an FAA remote pilot, commercially certified, which means I do drone photography and videography.
Oh my gosh. I thought for a second in my mind, I'm like, wow, you're flying fighter jets.
Yeah, it makes it sound like I can fly a plane. Nobody who knows me would ever get in. And I also do weddings, and I've been a photographer since 2005, and I care about taking pictures that I'm proud of, no matter who my client is. And I care about taking storytelling pictures.
And your photos are wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. I love your work. You worked with us in Midsummer Fest last year, too. And it was just stunning.
Which is always my favorite weekend of the year. And then
I'm glad to hear that. I hear it's a lot of people's favorite weekends of the year.
Yeah.
I also hear from the grapevine that you are a phenomenal pickleball player.
I do not. How did you hear that, first of all?
Is it true?
It is not true. I have never played pickleball.
What?
I play this other... I'm a racket smart fanatic.
Wait.
And
racket what?
I play another strange, smaller court version of tennis called platform tennis.
How many versions of tennis are there
I don't even know, but I'm completely addicted to it. I play probably at least 3 times a week. I drive out to the suburbs to play it because there's no courts in the city except for at Midtown, which is crazy expensive. Anyway, but I am a platform tennis fanatic and I have no idea how you found out about
that. So I'm going to have to correct the rumor mill on that.
Yeah.
No pickleball, platform tennis.
I do see pickleball as part of my future.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Good to know. And then one more thing I'd love to know about you. Is there a joke you'd like to offer us today?
Yes, this will be cringy. Have you heard about corduroy pillowcases?
I have not heard about corduroy pillowcases.
They're making headlines.
See, the Always Andersonville podcast is going to turn into just a dad puns and jokes podcast soon. And I'm very excited about it. Our listeners should keep an ear out for that.
Dad jokes are my thing.
Hashtag us and submit your dad jokes to the Always Andersonville podcast. So, you know, Kathleen, all right, let's jump into your work now. We've had you cover a number of Andersonville events. As I mentioned, you were a part of Midsummer Fest last year. And, you know, like I said, the photos are stunning. And I just have to say that, you know, from the start when, you know, I came across your photography, I was struck by, and the first word that came to my mind was the humanity of it. And I also, you know, another word that always comes to my mind is the empathy of it. But I feel like that you seem to be able to truly capture the ingenuous nature of people. So I'd love to hear about where that inspiration for your photography came from, as opposed to, say, architecture or nature. There's so many architecture photographers in Chicago, I feel like, and you capture this very different part of it.
It was always people and human stories that drew me to photography. I've always been curious about people and culture, and that led me to pursue a journalism major when I was in college. And so I've always been curious and wanting to explore and get out and meet people. I've always been a pretty social person. And so I pursued journalism. And once I took a photojournalism class, I knew that using a camera was my favorite way to tell a story. So then after college, I started working as a photojournalist for newspapers. Mm-hmm. And in that capacity, you're working several assignments a day, you're meeting all sorts of different people, and you learn about all sorts of different people, and you really learn that everybody has a story and everybody's unique. And people are very open and welcoming. And I'm always touched by how many people who have invited me into their lives to photograph. And when you spend time with people, you can be part of really nice moments. And so I really love learning that.
And this has kind of taken you all over, right? I mean, it's not just Chicago.
Yeah. Well, so my first job, it was hard to just get a staff photojournalist job at a newspaper. So my first job was an internship at this like really small local paper in Florida in the middle of this really small town. I didn't really know anybody. And so my whole world was just working and getting to know the community and telling stories about the community. And then I got a job at a little bit of a bigger paper. And then I moved to Vancouver because of British Columbia originally for bad relationship decisions. But
the reason anyway, we make a lot of our career choices.
I ended up staying there for a really long time, and I worked as a freelance photographer, and I also worked in the restaurant industry there. But I would get really great assignments. Like I would get sent up to Haida Gwaii to photograph stories for British Columbia Magazine. And so photography, not just in my community, but it has opened doors for me to be out there into life. And that's one of the things, it's a hard career, but I love what it gives me day to day with opening doors. And I love the challenge of photographing people and, you know, to make a good photograph. Sometimes a good photograph falls into your lap, but usually you have to really sit in a situation for a while and be patient. And I'm a pretty scattered person. So I think that challenge is like a really healthy challenge for me.
Well, do you think being scattered, though, maybe can be a little bit of a benefit as a person when you're pursuing art that you're not? I mean, I'm the sort of person where I would try and plan something out and try and, you know, make sure it's exactly the way I see it in my head and plan it in my head.
Yeah.
And I find when I like photography, but I find when I do that, the photos don't turn out necessarily the best way.
Yeah, I think you need to leave room. I don't think all photographers are like this. I think a lot of photographers plan it out and get amazing photos, but I'm not a planner. And I think my work and my best photos relied on being open to just letting something very unpredictable unfold. And that's kind of the way I live my life. Like when we travel, we don't plan much because we wait to talk to people and see where we get directed. Mm-hmm. I don't like a ton of structure with any plan because I think it sometimes can close doors in photography and in life.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure my wife and anybody I know would probably say Kathy could be a little better about planning things. Yeah.
I am not a planner on vacations myself. Throw me into the middle of the country where I can't speak the language and I'll walk around and find something to do.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you've been sort of really touched by people having let you in to their lives. And have you found, because it's, you know, photography, especially when you're taking pictures of just people, it can be a very vulnerable thing to have your picture taken. It
Definitely. Can
be a very sensitive thing. But have you found that, especially in these days of like tech and privacy and everything, but have you found that people generally are pretty comfortable? I mean, it has, you know, you're a very genuine and personable person, so that helps. But have you found people are comfortable letting you in and taking those photos and experimenting?
usually, and it, you know, it's just a quick conversation about consent, and people can say, no, I'm not comfortable with that, you know? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when you communicate, I'm trying to tell a story about this, I do think people like having their story told and enjoy the process of collaborating and building and sharing a story. And so I think a lot of people, usually I ask before I take people's photos, but sometimes I'll like grab a photo of somebody because they're in like some great bit of light or something like that. And then I'll catch up to them and ask, and they'll either be like, yeah, that was okay, or no, that was not okay. But yeah, I think for the most part in this age of where our photos are everywhere and we're having our picture taken constantly without knowing it, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. And then I think also a lot of people are like, well, my picture's being taken all over the place anyway, so go for it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Have you found that in, you know, I'm thinking of, there's one particular photo from Midsummer Fest that you took of local drag queen Rah Rah Girl.
Yeah.
And I love the photo. And it's just a close up of her eyes, essentially. And you first look at it and you kind of, you know, you see the photo, you see the smile, and it's like, this is a really nice photo. But then as you continue to look at it, and a lot of the photos I've seen you take, you can start to, you see more of a personality behind it than just, you know, here's this person's eyes, or here's this person dancing in at a festival, or here's this person drinking a drink or cheersing with their friends. Have you found that when you talk to people and you ask them if you can get their photo and you say you want to tell a story, you have an idea of what that story is you want to tell, or that they have an idea of what that story is? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And with Rah Rah Girl, was great to photograph. I met Rah Rah Girl, I think, at Midsummer Fest, or maybe it was at a Chamber of Commerce event a couple weeks before. Mm-hmm. I usually have an idea of the exact story that I want to tell. And I love the way you describe that photo. It makes me really happy when somebody sits with one of my photos the way you just described, because I do think a lot about my compositions and do think through it all. And with Rah Rah Girl, I did want to just focus right in on her face mm-hmm. and bring you right in there. And I talked to Rah Rah Girl for a project that I was doing with Black Club on drag. And Rah Rah Girl has this amazing story of coming to Chicago, and she's pretty new to the drag scene here. And she grew up a Jehovah's Witness and had to leave behind her family and home when she was 18 and came here and has found this wonderful drag community and is this gorgeous queen.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I love
and
her.
And I really wanted to zoom in on that face. And she's proud and confident. And so anyway, yeah, I want to, you know, usually before I ask to take somebody's photos, I try not to be a creep, but I usually have like watched them and been like, okay, how do I want to photograph them? Usually you don't want to take up too much of somebody's time. And so I get really anxious while I'm taking the photos that I might be taking up too much of somebody's time. So usually I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Go right in.
Do you find it difficult, like when you've talked to someone, you say, I want to take your photo, and I, you know, there's like with Rah Rah Girl, you have a story behind there, that some people, when they get in front of the camera, or some people, when you've said, like, if you were to take a picture of someone without them knowing and approach them later versus asking them, can I take your picture? Do people have an issue, or do you have an issue getting the same face or getting the same naturalism or story out of them than if you hadn't asked them?
Not usually, because usually I'll ask them and then I'll go walk away, and or maybe I'll take one photo that's mm-hmm. not the photo that I'm going to use to be like, this is the photo I'm taking. But then, and then I'll say, I might grab another photo of you in a little bit, and I'll wait for the situation to be more relaxed again. And then I'll take the photo that I actually wanted to take.
So you found a way to get around some people's general discomfort being in front of the camera, then someone you might find interesting.
Well, and sometimes the comfort never comes and the photo never comes, but I've asked. But a lot of the time, especially when you're photographing someone like Rah Rah Girl, who's a performer mm-hmm. and is usually it comes in that situation.
Well, then I'd love to jump into, you know, you talked about two main subject points in the work that you do, Chicago communities and then a global LGBTQ community. And I'd love to hear about Chicago, the Chicago side of things first. So, I mean, you're originally from Chicago, correct?
Yeah, I'm from the suburbs.
Okay. So has Chicago sort of been a point of interest, something for you for a long time?
Well, yeah, forever. I've always loved Chicago, but I did move away and I didn't quite think that I was coming back and my wife brought me back here. But I'm happy to be home. I did all my personal work away from Chicago, like coming out and stuff like that. But I'm happy to be here. And I love photographing fun feature stories that tell the story of our town. Mm-hmm. Chicago has so much personality, and attempting to capture our local identity is one of my photographic goals. And usually these projects are for fun, and usually I pursue projects that are tied to my interests, like food and music. And then they find their home in local journalism outlets like the Chicago Reader, Block Club Chicago, WTTW. For some examples of Chicago stories, a couple summers ago, I spent all of July, which is National Hot Dog Month, trying to photograph as many hot dog stands in Chicago proper as I possibly could. When I was like a lunatic going and probably gained like 10 pounds.
I was going to say, I'd have to eat at least one hot dog per stand that I photographed.
I was bringing home hot dogs like every night for dinner.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
So those photos ran in Black Club around the time the TV show The Bear about the Chicago Italian beef stand was getting popular. WTTW reached out and wanted to do a story on a family-run Italian beef stand. So I spent a full day one Saturday from like before opening till close at Johnny's Beef in Elmwood Park, just doing a day in the life kind of thing. So I love that. I was back in 2020, one of the things I missed the most that like went away was live music. And we have such a wonderful music scene here in Chicago. And just thinking about all the venues that are closed, all the, you know, the bartenders that weren't working, like all the sound techs and everything. So I wanted to do a story about what it looked like when the music scene came back. So I photographed that for the Chicago Reader, and that won the Lissa Gore Award in 2021. And then I was thrilled last December when the Reader called because Dave's Records in Linkin Park was closing, They asked me to do another like day in the life thing of the last day that they were open. And it's such an example of people like opening themselves up to you. Like it's the last day of his business, and Dave and his son Sam completely let me just hang out taking pictures all day long. And after they closed, I was like, okay, I should probably like get out of their hair now. But I asked them to take one quick portrait, and Dave put his arm around Sam, and Sam kind of like leaned into his dad, and Dave gave Sam this like big kiss. And like moments like that are what I love about photographing people and doing photography. And it was such a nice local moment of just Chicago people who give to our community for so many years.
So obviously, you know, you've been a lot of places in Chicago, and you've seen, even just doing a day in the life photo, I'm sure you see a lot. And I'm curious if you have any examples of things you've noticed that intrigued you or sort of struck you as, oh, that's interesting. I never realized people did that, or I never thought about that before.
I think that happens all the time. I'm struggling to come up with an example right now.
It's okay.
But I do think we have all these neighborhoods. I did this big project last year that was more for commercial purposes. It was with the Regional Transportation Authority, and it was documenting transit all across Chicago.
Maybe see some things in that one.
And people riding transit in the different places we go. And so I spent like all this time going all over Chicagoland, like out to the far out suburbs too, documenting people and transit. And so the theme, it was for their strategic plan, like planning for the future. Mm-hmm. And the name of the plan was Transit is the Answer. It can connect us to opportunity. It can combat inequities. It can combat climate change. And so it was a story about connections. And so I think one of the things, like whether it's the hot dog project or this transit project, I think I learned that when you're out there meeting so many people that we're all more similar than we think.
Yeah.
And that's always surprising to me. And maybe I say that and I have a much different life experience than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a pretty cis presenting white woman, you know, but it's meeting people from all over the place at all these different hot dog stands. And it's like, wherever you're at, there's like a place that's the heartbeat of a community and people are proud of their neighborhoods.
Well, we tend to separate, you know, neighborhoods pretty specifically in Chicago. You know, yeah. I mean, obviously we all have our neighborhood we live in and we have our favorite places to go for events or just things we go out for at night. But, you know, it's that's the sort of thing, you know, when you someone like you who's been all over and had more exposure to wider areas of Chicago, it's cool that you find those things. You notice that things that local favorite place that people go to for lunch or, you know, that cafe that everyone goes and sits down or the coffee shop everyone goes and sits down at that no one outside of the neighborhood knows about. Those fun little things that make the neighborhood.
Yeah. And it's fun to explore no matter where you go. Like, it's fun to just like go out to Joliet and dig into like, where's the little place that everybody knows about here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's my platform tennis? Where's my new platform tennis place? That's your next project, right? Finding a platform tennis location in every neighborhood in Chicago.
I mean, maybe my long-term goal would be
open your own,
creating one. Collaborating with the Chicago Park District or something like that and bringing it to Chicago.
Bringing platform tennis to everyone. Well, of course, I want to ask you about Andersonville because you are an Andersonville resident. What brought you here?
My wife, Amanda Jones, brought me here.
I like your wife. She's been doing a lot of really cool stuff.
She's a real catch. That's a thing I say. Anyway, she would want me to mention that she has been in Andersonville for a long time, long before it was getting these big magazine recognitions for being the coolest neighborhood in the world. And so I grew up in the Chicago suburbs and moved away after college. And I lived in Vancouver, British Columbia for many years. And Amanda was great friends with friends of mine who, when I would come home and visit family, I would go out with, and sometimes she would tag along. And so eventually we ended up in a relationship and it made all the sense to move back to Chicago. No matter how you slice your day or dream of places far away or try to set your world apart, you always end up where you start.
Oh my gosh. Is that from something?
Yeah, it's a total Fish quote. I'm a Fish fan.
I should have known that.
Yeah.
Paul at Rattleback's going to be upset with me. What is an ideal Andersonville day for you?
An ideal Andersonville day is nice weather, weekend day. Everybody's out and about. We call Clark Street the Strip. So we go walk the Strip, like disco, hop into a few stores, some of our favorite stores, you know, Women and Children First, Strange Cargo. And then usually we land without fail, if we can get it, the table with the open window at Farragut's.
Yeah. Right in the front there.
Yeah. And then just people watch and see who walks by and have a beer. And then it would probably be capped off with dinner. You know, most commonly that would be probably Kahlo. They know us there. We're like.
We'll talk about a place that's been here for a very long time.
Yeah. I would like to add, we feel really lucky to have landed in Andersonville. As a queer person, I feel like I won the jackpot in terms of neighborhoods. We're grateful to have the opportunity to live here. And when we travel, we'll check out the gay neighborhood and we feel so privileged. And when you think of all like the LGBTQ people worldwide who like will never get to be out or live authentically, and we get to live in this neighborhood. I feel, you know, I don't know if Andersonville's the same for everybody, but yeah. Both Amanda and I reflect on how lucky we are to live here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're proud of the neighborhood, and we hear a lot of from people from, you know, about the small business, about the community feel, and of course about the LGBTQ presence. But I'm curious, as a photographer with a goal of capturing humans and what connects us, you know, what do you see when you look at Andersonville through the lens of your camera? You know, how does Andersonville look to you through that camera?
It's tricky. I mean, I see a lot of familiar faces. I honestly didn't photograph Andersonville too much until I started working with the chamber. Because it was more like I'd come home from shooting and then we'd go walk the strip and I wouldn't bring my camera. And so it's been a fun year or whatever of turning my camera on Andersonville. I would say I had so much fun photographing Midsummerfest. I see a lot of vibrance. I see all the reasons we live here when I look through it with the camera. I see a lot of people out there living their best life, a strong community.
Is it differ much from, you know, what makes capturing Andersonville different than capturing other neighborhoods you've been to?
I think the more you know a place makes it a little easier. I'll do these projects sometimes that are like where I'm hired to capture a different neighborhood and I'll have to spend all this time going in the morning to see what the light's like, going at the night, you know, with Andersonville, it's like I know every little nook and cranny. So I think it makes it easier. And I think it's easy to talk to people and tell people what I'm doing when I'm part of the community. But I also think being anonymous is sometimes an edge in photography. And sometimes when things are right in front of you all the time, they don't catch your eye as much as when you enter a new space and it does catch your eye. So I don't know. I guess there's some things that make it easier, but other things that are an advantage. When you step into a new space, everything is new and you're seeing everything for the first time.
Well, and you mentioned the challenge of what you do earlier, the challenge of telling that story and finding the right way to represent someone in a photograph. And so I guess the question that just came to my mind is, you know, you said it's easier because you know the neighborhood, you know where the light is, you know the spots that, you know, maybe make for good composition. But easier isn't necessarily better when it comes to your photography, though, is it?
No. Easier tends to make you lazier in terms of looking for something, too, if you're in terms of like aggressively searching for a good photo. And so there's a push and pull. I don't know if it's a benefit or not, but it's maybe certainly fun to photograph. And then I've started I photographed my neighbors got married at Vincent's.
Aww.
And it was like the most fun wedding to shoot because it's like, I didn't even need to get in a car all day. Like walked over to their house to take getting ready photos. And then we walked over to Vincent. Yeah. But it was, it's definitely more fun to photograph when you feel like right at home. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy it.
Just from, you know, talking to a lot of people in the jobs that they do every day, especially small business owners, you know, some people, like, you spend all day taking pictures for an assignment or for a publication you're working for. Do you prefer, when you come home, when you come to Andersonville, you said you'll put the camera down. But to say having a day where you go out in Andersonville and you take some photos, like you said, it's easier. Does it feel kind of, is it nice to have an easier, relaxing day sometimes? Do you find a comfort in doing that?
Do you mean like just taking photos for fun?
How often do you take photos for fun versus work?
Usually I tie it in. Like I think this project will be fun and then I turn it into work. I'll take photos for fun when I'm on vacation. The problem with taking photos for fun is that you have to edit the photos you take for fun and that like almost never ends up happening.
You've got so much other stuff you have to do.
Yeah, because there's like, oh gosh, I need to get those photos that I didn't take for fun to those people who asked me to, you know. But I do it. I take a lot. I love playing around with compositions and I take a lot of photos for fun. I have a whole project that I call Reverie. I did a photo show at the Center on Halsted a couple years ago. And for years and years, I have all these like just studies in composition and color that I take while I'm walking around. And I'll even just take them with my iPhone. And that's kind of the photos that I do for fun. And then I put them all together in these grids to see how the lines match. Kind of a totally different thing than photographing people, but I kind of do that for fun.
That's cool. I mean, you're the sort of person I imagine you walk around and you can see a photo everywhere you look, you know?
Yeah. Usually anytime something catches your eye, you know, there's a photo around there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to. So, you know, we talked about the Chicago aspect of things, and I want to jump into, you know, the global LGBTQ+ community that you mentioned. And I'll be honest, you know, I was sitting down the other day and I was sort of doing a little outline for our conversation. And, you know, I found myself having trouble coming up with a question, a specific question to ask about your work with the LGBTQ plus community that opened up a dialogue that didn't limit it, that didn't, you know, narrow it down to this specific question. So I know this is a huge ask, but I'm going to ask you broadly, you know, about that aspect of your work in and out of Chicago with the LGBTQ community.
Being a member of the LGBTQ plus community, our like global family, is a huge part of my identity. And representation is everything. And creating photos that reflect queer joy is something I see as the most important thing that I could possibly do, working with my own personal experience. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s and was like a textbook tomboy. And, you know, our society is so heteronormative and girls like pink and boys like blue. And from a very young age, I was made to feel very different. Yeah. And it was hard. And it took me a long time to come out and be somebody who lives authentically. And then you come out on the other side of that and you're out and you made it and you look back and you realize how ridiculous it was that people made you feel that way, you know, or that our world makes us feel that way. And so anyway, it's hard to make good decisions and plan for your future when you're living in the closet and you don't see a happy, healthy future for yourself. And so telling stories that reflect pride and joy in the queer community are important to me because I didn't know gay people growing up and I, you know, it wasn't really on TV like it is now. And so anyway, if I can do like a little story here and there that tells an aspect of that, that's something I think is really important and, you know, the most important part of my work. I always think about the people who like made it way easier for somebody like me to, like, my path was way easier than so many other people's. And so just, I think as like queer folks, all of us are trying to think of ways that we can be part of defending queer existence.
Yeah.
And I think if there's ways we can do it that are fun, like through photography or however, I think it's like, oh, anytime we can get to do that, like, that's great.
It's important.
Yeah. And I look like I really, you know, I don't do it full time. Like, I don't know. I do a story every Pride Month. And so I've just started doing this. So in 2022, I did a story on queer spaces in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I just tried to photograph as many queer spaces as I possibly could. And that ran with Block Club Chicago's Pride Month coverage, which is awesome. And then this year I did the story on the art of drag. And then before I had just been like documenting things like Pride whenever I got the chance. And so in like 2021, the Holocaust Museum did a show called Rise Up. And it was mm-hmm. like the history of the LGBTQ rights movement. So they used some of my photos from Pride celebration. So anytime I can like take a photo that reflects queer joy and get it out into the world, I'm just like, think it's an honor to do that and want to take photos that you wish you had seen,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I want to be there. Yeah. I want to be in that moment.
Yeah. But I'm not like, it's not like there's so much other work that I do. It's not full time, but I want to do as much work as I can. Like, I want that to be the focus of my work. I look at somebody like Tracy Baim from the Windy City Times, mm-hmm. who's like such a local hero and has like done so much to preserve Chicago's queer history over the course of her lifetime. And so that's definitely a goal of my work is to do more of.
So, and sort of an off the cuff question for you then, you know, obviously issues with trans rights and queer rights over the past few years have become, you know, the talking point for, especially for, you know, just our LGBTQ plus community in terms of what we're defending right now. And I'm curious, you know, I love that you have a focus on capturing queer joy, because I feel like it's very easy these days to capture strife.
Yeah.
And capturing joy is important.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm curious, in the past couple years with, you know, everything that's been going on, have you found that joy rare or more difficult to capture? Or have you seen it, you know, come up tenfold when people do, you know, have those moments or those celebrations and those victories? I'm curious how you've seen it change.
I think it has changed. And I think one thing is I'm turning my camera towards the joy, but there's so much pain that I also should be balancing out the documentation with. I'm photographing the joy, and that's the more fun thing to photograph.
Yeah.
But those photos aren't necessarily showing that people are fearing for their existence. And I seek it out, and we live in an area where it's still easy to find that joy. But if I headed out of Chicago, I don't think these stories are as possible to tell.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think there's so much pain out there and, you know, so hideous legislation, you know? And yeah, I think it's a really hard time right now.
Well, and I think one of the things, especially with some photos I saw you capture at Midsummer Fest, is, you know, obviously pain is a big part of what we're living with right now. But when we have, especially at Midsummer Fest, when I did see your photos of queer performers or drag queens, it's like when we're coming here to celebrate and to, for lack of a better phrase, rock out and perform, and we're coming back to it tenfold. It's, you know, the joy has to be that much louder and that much bigger to be like, we're here. You can't bring us down.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're almost seeing the joy that the pain is inspiring to keep the movement going and to keep
a balance.
Yeah, a balance to keep positivity or optimism there in some form.
Yeah, for sure. And the reality is the joy is there in the performance, but to be a performer is a struggle financially. It costs a lot of money. And so
an emotional turmoil too.
Yeah.
You know, we all become very hard on ourselves whenever we have to do, even, you know, we had years of all these other people being hard on us for being who we are. And then we turn that on ourselves too.
Yeah, completely. But yeah, I think showing the joy and amplifying it, you know, I think it's really sinister what people who are against transgender existence are saying and what their end goal is. It's hard to really, there's no way to make any sense of it. And to show pictures, like, what are you gonna put all this? It's out, we're out. Like, what are you gonna put it back in a box? I don't, you know, it's just,
it's too big
baffling.
And it's too beautiful and it's too glorious to even get it back in a box. You can't.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about what you mentioned, your Block Club article, The Art of Drag, because I think, you know, I, of course, read it, and I'll link it for our listeners so they can read it, which I highly recommend. So it's The Art of Drag, a tribute to Chicago's vast, beautiful, and creative drag community. You spoke to a number of drag queens and kings, and can you give us a little summary on it? Can you talk about sort of where that project came from and what it meant to you and how you went about it?
Yeah. Well, for the past couple of years, I did a personal project during Pride Month for Block Club Chicago's Proud City Pride Month coverage. So the first year I did it was Queer Spaces. And then this year, when I was pitching stories, I pitched a few ideas, and I pitched doing The Art of Drag. One, because of some of the sinister legislation going on in other states. And two, because I thought photographing as much drag as I could in a month would be a really fun way to celebrate Pride myself.
Yeah.
So anyway, I
drag and hot dogs.
Yeah. So I began reaching out to friends in the community and icons in the community, and was welcomed warmly by so many people to do this project and come to various performances. My friend Thrussy Galore, who's a newer queen, I think 1 year or two in, had me come to their apartment and do getting ready photos. Camilla Fox at Meeting House had me come to the Sunday showcase. You know, Bambi Banks Kule, who's like an icon in the community, had me come to Mayhem. And so, and it was, once you get into one of these projects, you realize there's no possible way you can photograph the whole thing. But anyway, my goal is to showcase how beautiful, diverse, and creative in art form drag is, and I wanted to show it at many different levels, so from newcomers to the scene to fixtures, longtime fixtures and legends in the scene. And every drag performer is so unique, and it's an incredible art form. And like Bambi Banks Kule said, who's like one of the biggest names in Chicago drag, being a drag queen is being brave enough to stand in front of people and say, this is who I am. And so essentially I wanted to showcase confidence and bravery through the story.
Yeah. And you found it. You definitely found it.
For sure. I mean, once you look for it in that scene, it's easy to find.
Well, I love Camilla Fox. I have to bring this up because I love it. But the Camilla Fox has that great quote, straight people have NASCAR, we have drag.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's phenomenal.
Camilla Fox was amazing to talk to for the story and to go to her Sunday showcase at Meeting House. That wasn't the only race car quote that I got from somebody. Because I spent an afternoon photographing Chili Pepper, who's a legend, like the first ever Miss Continental winner in 1980. And when I asked Chili Pepper about drag, she said, I don't care for the term. It sounds too much like the Indy 500.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did she have a different term, or did she have a different
idea? No, it was just like a...
like a take.
Yeah, just a take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you learn anything in putting that article together that you didn't know? Was there anything that really surprised you? You know, we're a part of the queer community and we're very ingrained in this, but you know, I mean, I don't know if you're a drag performer, but there's certain things I think, you know, we can go to a drag brunch and love it. But from behind the scenes, what did you learn?
I think I knew the scene would most, queer scenes are pretty welcoming, but just how vast and welcoming the scene would be was touching. Everybody, you know, I'm coming into place. I'm not a drag performer, so a bit of a voyeur or whatever, you know. And so I think the vastness, the different kinds of queens, and the different inspiration behind their work. Like, for example, like Miriam Lefkowitz, who did Drag Story Hour at Midsummer Fest.
It's our Jewish drag queen, yeah. Bubby, Miriam Lefkowitz.
And I asked the story behind Miriam, and it's a tribute to all the Jewish women in her life, including her mother, who's teacher and a reading specialist in Connecticut, and doing this Drag Story Hour for the whole neighborhood. And I think it's such a beautiful tribute to her mom.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's fun to see. I mean, I'm Jewish and I love Miriam. I've worked with Miriam a few times through Rattleback and through the Chamber. And, you know, I think that that's not something I had really seen before meeting Miriam, was a Jewish drag queen. And, you know, a big part of the identity being this Jewish booby, this Jewish drag queen. And that's something that, you know, clearly that's a moment where I learned, oh, drag really can represent everyone. It does have something for everyone.
Yeah.
You can express anything about yourself through it. So what kind of feedback did you receive on the article, if you did? I mean, both positive and negative.
You know, I never see much, but it was positive. I got a lot of like messages or a few messages and whatnot, but anything I received was positive.
Yeah.
I didn't get any.
That's very nice to hear.
Yeah.
So with your work, and I know you already mentioned that you kind of had an idea you presented a few ideas and you wanted to do the story on drag.
Yeah.
But generally, I don't know if it's always one or the other, but what comes first, the story or the photos or just the photography?
They go hand in hand, mm-hmm. I think. I often pick stories based on what I think will be fun and visual to photograph. And so I think from my perspective, I do overlook some stories based on being like, that sounds, you know, maybe that's like an easy way. Drag is so beautiful and creative and was a relevant conversation this year. And so it seemed like a pretty obvious choice. So I also base it a little bit on what people are talking about and where there will be interest and where there's a need to enlighten mm-hmm. or whatever.
Well, sometimes I think having something visual helps people pay attention and learn and listen and read more than if it was just a series of text about a particular subject.
Yeah.
Is there a subject that you've work on where you didn't think at first it was going to be visually interesting, and then you started getting photos and you were like, oh, wow, this is actually really cool?
That actually does happen all the time. I'm struggling to think of an example, but like sometimes you'll get an assignment to, and you'll be like, I don't know how I'm going to do this or make this interesting. But then you start exploring and you're like, wow, that totally worked out. Yeah. But I don't know. I can't think of an example.
Well, I mean, imagine it challenges you to capture things from a different perspective.
When you learn things too, you learn how maybe closed off your mind was to thinking there's not going to be a good picture of that, you know?
Yeah. It's just, you have to find the right angle. So Kathleen, I have two last questions for you. First, if there's one thing people could take away from your work, what would you want that to be?
Well, first of all, I'm infinitely appreciative of anybody who's ever shared their face with my camera and opened themselves up to my camera. And if there's one thing I would want people to take away from my work, it's that people are creative and unique and beautiful and exciting.
Well, Kathleen, thank you again for being here today. It's been such a joy talking to you. Last of all, where can our listeners find you? Your social media, your website, all that good stuff.
My website is my name, KathleenHinkle.com.
Branding.
And I also have an Instagram that isn't always updated every day, but it's at Kathleen Hinkle. And you can probably also find me at Farragut's in the window on a nice sunny day.
Taking pictures of you as you walk by.
Yeah.
Well, Kathleen, thank you again. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, thanks for having me, Charlie.
Of course.